अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तमहिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्मविद्याचार्याय नचिकेतसे च वि आफर् अवर् प्रोस्ट्रेशन्स् टु दि Lord Yamaraja, who is the knower of truth, the highest knower of truth and the best teacher one can have, and is the son of sun god of Surya Bhagwan, and to Nachiketa, who is the ideal student, the total personification of Sadhan Chatushtaya. You cannot find a better student, and because of him, we have the privilege of benefit of studying this beautiful Upanishad. So last week we had covered three mantras. One was that this our sense organs are created defective because they look outward, and when they talk about khani, the senses are just holes. The eyes, ears, nose are just holes which just transmit whatever they see, and through the nerves also. Science also knows that once they go through the nerves, it is the brain or the mind which actually is the seer of all objects, seer, hearing. That's why we have the olfactory center, auditory center, optic nerve. So all these centers in the brain, so it is the mind or the brain which is the actual perceiver of objects. The senses are just khani, they are just holes which transmit, and it is the mind which, when looking outward, is considered to be, as the problem, because when we look outward, we see the world outward, and there is a very rare individual, kaschid dhira pratyagatmanam ikshat, very rare person sees the self within, and he finds the truth within, looking for immortality. Then we ended with this. We started with again the description of Atma, the self, which is in the waking state through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, tena rupam rasan gandham. And this Atma is the self which knows all, whatever is perceived by all our senses, not only all our senses, but all the senses, whether it's animals, birds, fish, whatever they perceive, and all the entire universe and beyond. So that Atma, one who knows, that is this, that etat vaitat, Yamaraja had said that what you are saying is that which is the furthest is also the closest to you. So we'll continue with the description of Atma in the few mantras. Hansa, you have chapter 2, number 4. Hansa, Dr. Hansa, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Swapnantam jagarittantam.
Swapnantam jagarittantam.
Chobhau yenanu pasyati.
Chobhau yenanu pasyati.
Mahantam vibhumatmanam.
Mahantam vibhumatmanam.
Matva dhiro na shochati.
Matva dhiro na shochati.
You can please mute. We'll chant together. स्वप्नान्तं जागरितान्तं चोभव्येनानुपश्यति महान्तं विभुमात्मानं मत्वा धीरो न शोचति. सो स्वप्नान्तं मीन्स् एट् दि एण्ड् आफ् द ड्रीम्. सो वाट् इस् एट् दि एण्ड् आफ् द ड्रीम्? वेकिङ्ग्. So the dream, the waking, and jagaritantam means at the end of the waking state, which is deep sleep. So previously we had already covered waking state in the previous mantra. This mantra talks about dream and deep sleep. So the idea is that in all three states, who ubhav, so ubhav, both yena anupashyati. So that anu means constantly perceives. Yena, by this, it's the Atma that is the perceiver of all the three states. Anu means constantly, Pashyati. And what is the nature of Atma? Mahantam, it is great. And Vibhum, all-pervading Atmanam. And having known that, Matva means having known that, na shochati, he has no grief, he has no sorrow. So how do we go beyond sorrow? By knowing this Atma as my own true nature. And in the Dakshinamurti, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says, Balyadishvapi Jagradadishu Tatha Sarvasu Avasthasu Api. So whether childhood, youth, middle age, old age, waking, dream, deep sleep, or any other state we may be in any other situation, in any other, whatever we are doing in our profession, wherever, in all our activities, one that is constantly present, aham aham, sarvasu avasthasu api vyavritasu anuvartaman aham iti, that which says I. So that which says I, that is Atma, that is the self, and that is me, my true nature. We think that it is the ego. Well, the ego may be present, but the ego is changing. Like in childhood, it was different. In youth, it is different. In happiness, unhappiness, it is different. In success and failure. So that which is constant, anupashyati, that is the Atma, the self. And it is all pervading. That's why Purush Suktam, it is such a bhumim vishvato vritva atyatishtha dashangulam. So that which pervades this entire cosmos, all the 14 worlds, and extends 10 fingers beyond. 10 fingers does not mean dashangulam like that. What it means is the 10 states. So the five sense organs and the five organs of action. So as far as the sense organs can perceive, as far as the organs of action can reach, as far as the mind and intellect can reach, it is even beyond that. So that Atma, which is Vibhum, all-pervading and great, which is greater than everything, and omnipresent, and that Atma I am, that is my true nature. But na shochati, but why do we have grief? Why do we feel that I am limited? They say, because not knowing my true nature, so it is avidya, kama, karma, karma phala, vasana, bandhan. So these are the stages of bondage. So avidya means ignorance, not knowing I am this true Atma. I always think of myself as this limited body. And that, even though we again and again say it, that's very, very important. One has to constantly abide in that knowledge. In our meditation, that's what we should meditate on. Not just on the breath or not just on some light or something, but meditate on my true nature, that I am that nature of Brahman, and choose mantras according to that. You know, mano buddha ahankar, or you know, things like that, those kind of mantras.
Listen.
When we choose, or Brahma Tattvamasi, Bhava Yatmani, Vivek Chudamani, all, there are so many mantras, Asangoham, you know, all of those, Prata Smarami. So pick one of those mantras, memorize, and then meditate on that in your meditation. You can, if you memorize Sanskrit, is good, or even in English, you can think about mantras as So avidya, so what does avidya do? When I no, don't know I am Atma, I think I am the limited individual, I'm incomplete, I'm imperfect. Then I get a desire that by getting that, I'll become perfect. So that is the second step. Then I do actions to get what I don't have. And by doing karmas, so avidya, kama, karma, then I get karma phala, then I get the results. And if the results are bad, I get sorrow. If the results are good, I get happy, but I want more and more. So by desiring more and more, I create more vasanas. And vasanas leads to bondage. So that is the step. Avidya, kama, karma, karma phala, vasana, bandhan, bondage. And what is the liberation? Liberation is to understand that I am divine, I am of the nature of divinity. And once you understand this, then you become desireless, where nothing of the world can give me that same happiness that I get when I abide in my true nature. And matva dhiro na shochati, a wise person who understands I am that desireless Atma, then has no sorrow at all. So that is the mantra number four. Pallavi, you have the next one, number five.
Yes.
Ya imam madvadam veda
Imam Madhvadam
Atmanam jivam antikat
Veda. Atmanam Jiva Mantikat.
Ishanam Bhuta Bhavyasya
Ishanam Bhuta Bhavyasya.
Natato
Natato Vijugupsate
Vijugupsate
Etadvaitata.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Ya imam madvadam veda Atmanam jivam antikat Ishanam Bhuta Bhavyasya Natato Vijugupsate Etadvaitat. So now again he says that Etadvaitat, what you are thinking as that all pervading is also Etad, is this. So it is the furthest away from us and the closest, even closer than our body, mind, intellect. It is me, my true nature. So that which is the furthest, that is also this. So this and that are both one. So now here he has introduced the Yaha Imam. So Yaha Imam Veda. Veda means one who knows. Veda can also be the noun, you know, the Vedas, but that is Vedaha. There is a Visarga. But when Veda alone comes, that is a verb. So one who knows. What is he knows? Madhvadam. Madhvadam means enjoyer of honey. Madhu is honey. Adam means enjoyer or eater. So one who knows this Atma as the enjoyer of honey, Atmanam, this Atma, one who knows, and Jivam Antikat. Antikat means the closest to me is this Atma. It is even closer than my body, mind, intellect. That is me. That is me, Antikat. And what is this Atma? Ishanam. It is the Lord of all. It is the controller of everything. And Bhuta Bhavya Asya. So it is the Bhuta means past. Bhavya means future. So it is beyond past and beyond future. It is beyond time. It is timeless. And one who knows, na tataha, then this person, vijugupsate, then he has no fear at all. And etad vaitad. And this Atma, once you know that is you, then you go beyond fear. So madhvadam is split into madhu plus adam. Adam means enjoyer. Madhu means honey. So madhu or honey is equated to karma phala. Karma phala means like if I do an action and I get a result, that is the karma phala, good or bad actions. But madhu is the karma phala for the bees. Because if you think about it, what do the bees do? They go to the flower, collect that, the essence
Oh.
of the flower essence. And then they take it and then they, with their saliva, they mix it. And then there are worker bees who work on it. And the final result of all their activities of all the bees, the worker bees and all the bees, is madhu, is the honey. So, same way, this our karma, the final result of our karmas is karma phala. So, enjoyer of the karma phala. So we say, well, wait. Didn't you say Atma does not do anything and does not enjoy anything? We had said that before. Then you say, how can you say now Atma is the enjoyer? And when you say Atma is the enjoyer, that means there is Atma and something enjoyed. That means there are two. But the Vedanta is built on Advaita. There is only one. So who is this Atma that is the enjoyer? We'll talk about that. What is this Atma that is said to be the enjoyer of it? And Veda, as we said, known, and it is beyond three stages of time. So in Vedanta, there is a term, unconditioned consciousness, which is Atma, which is the self, which is unconditioned by Desh, kala, vastu, without time, without place. It is everywhere, unconditioned. But when does this become conditioned? Atma does not become conditioned. It is our ignorance that even though we are Atma, we think we are conditioned. See, so the conditioned is the jiva. How does this jiva arise? We have studied before also. When this Atma, the consciousness, when this Maya world was created out of illusion, the subtle body was created, the mind and intellect within the individual is called subtle body, in the total is called Hiranyagarbha. That is the total subtle body. So when this consciousness innervates, gives life to this subtle body, then that is said to be this conditioning. Because what happens when the subtle body gets innervated, energized, then the body also gets energized. So body gets life, body can move, mind can feel, intellect can think. And then because of this reflection of consciousness, chidabhas, where the consciousness is reflected in the mind and intellect, that is how the whole world is created. Because Hiranyagarbha was created first and then the whole universe was created. So when this reflection happens, entity arises between the body and the consciousness, which is called jiva or jivatma. That is you and me, us. You know, this ego, this jiva, jivatma, this individual entity. And then I get this name, Anil, Lata, or Pallavi, and then I get this particular form, male or female, young or old, animal, bird, fish. So all these names and forms are out of ignorance. So when I start thinking I am limited and I am conditioned, then that is conditioned consciousness. Consciousness is not conditioned, it is my thinking that I think myself to be conditioned. I am limited. I am a limited. I can only do so much, you know, and this is all I can do. How can I reach that infinite self, Bhagwan? I am so hopeless. I am so useless. I am so limited. I am small. So all these ideas that I cannot reach, then but Shankaracharya ji could reach, Swami Chinmayananda could reach, Buddha could reach, Jesus could reach, but I cannot reach. So that is called conditioning. That is called limitation. Now, this conditioned consciousness, when this Atma functions through the gross body, there are these technical words. The gross body, when individual, it is called Vishwa. The individual body is called Vishwa. The individual mind and intellect is called Tejas, Tejasa. And the individual causal body is called Pragna. So gross body is Vishwa, subtle body is Tejas, and causal body is Pragna. So there are three names given of one entity. One entity has different names depending on It's conditioning. So with the body, with the mind, with the subtle body, as the conditioning goes. So the name is like a child, you know, his father is, say, is an ordinary individual, and he goes to work, and then one day he gets a job as a cop, as a policeman. So he comes home dressed in all these police, you know, uniform and all that. And the child first wonders, who is this new uncle has come? But then when he sees him close and he starts talking, he says, oh, this is my father. So that my father, who I thought is now conditioned as a cop. But then he understands, okay, he's the one who in street clothes, you know, plays with me in the evening. And then in the daytime, he wears police uniform and goes. Or the person whom we know used to have a beard, mustache, you know, long hair. And then one day he says, shave all this, shaves his hair, beard, mustache. The person has changed, but if you know him closely, so it is that same individual through all conditionings, whether he's in the beard or whether he's in the police or whether he's in the army. So the one that is, who knows that there is one consciousness, he recognizes the one consciousness through all the conditionings, all the changes that the individual is going through. That person never has any fear. Why? Because he recognizes this consciousness as Jiva Mantika. It is the closest. It is me. It is my nature. And then I become fearless, because even death, see, what is the greatest fear you and I have? That this body will perish and I will die. But once he knows I am Atma, then he says, I never die, I never perish. The body will perish. So he becomes fearless. Even death cannot scare this individual. There was a very famous book, Death Be Not Proud. I read it as a teenager. It still has impact on me. And the movie Anand was made on that book. So there is this young man who is told he has terminal cancer. And people think that he will be devastated, he will be shocked, and how cheerfully he handles all that. And same thing in Anand, Rajesh Khanna. He said, oh, Babu Moshai, you know, Amitabh Bachchan is the one, his friend, who is very sad because my friend is dying of cancer. And he said, are, ghabrane ki kya baat hai? People have ordinary cancer. I have lymphosarcoma of the intestines. How rare is that? So he's even proud of the kind of, and till the last moment, if you see that movie, it's so, and this book had a very profound impact on me, because how this individual teaches the person who was sorrowful how to be joyful. Same thing, Rajesh Khanna teaches Amitabh Bachchan how to be joyful even in the most sorrowful. So such a person, na viju gupsate, he does not fear death because he knows I am immortal. So that is this etat vaitat, this, that you are. Sujata, you would like to do the next one, number six?
Sure.
Ya purvam tapaso jatam.
Ya purvam tapaso jatam.
Adabhya purvam ajayata.
Adabhya purvam ajayata.
Guham pravishya tishthantam.
Guham pravishya tishthantam.
Yo bhute bhirvyapashyata.
Yo bhute bhirvyapashyata.
Etad vaitat. Okay, we'll chant together. You can please move. Yapurvam tapaso jatam. Adabhya purvam ajayata. Guham pravishya tishthantam. Yo bhute bhirvyapashyata etad vaitat. Again, etad vaitat. That Atma which you think is all pervading is this. It is the closest. So now he is given not the enjoyer, not the gross body, but the subtle body. He is now coming to the subtle body. And then in the next mantra, he will come to the causal body. Yaha, again, yaha, one who knows what? पूर्वम तपसो जातः, पूर्वम तपस, फ्रॉम तपस इट वॉज बॉर्न. वॉट इज दिस तपस? आवर आइडिया ऑफ तपस इज दैट स्टैंड ऑन वन लेग और स्टैंड ऑन योर हेड इन द स्नो एंड इन द, सो दिस ऑल काइंड ऑफ सर्कस पीपल डू, वी थिंक दैट इज तपस, बट दैट इज नॉट तपस. वॉट इज तपस वी विल स्टडी. अदभ्य, अदभ्य पूर्वम अजाय, अदभ्य मीन्स द वॉटर्स विच वॉज बॉर्न बिफोर द वॉटर्स. वॉट आर द वॉटर्स विल टॉक अबाउट. एंड देन गुहाम प्रविश्य तिष्ठन्तम, गुहा मीन्स द केव ऑफ द हार्ट, प्रविश्य मीन्स हैविंग एंटर्ड इट, तिष्ठन्तम इट स्टेज अबाइड्स. एंड भूते भी व्यपश्यत, एंड इट इज देयर इन ऑल द एलिमेंट्स. व्यपश्यत, वन हु नोज एंड वन हु सीज, नोज सीज मीन्स वन, व्यपश्यत मीन्स सीज, मीन्स वन हु नोज दैट आत्मा दैट इज बॉर्न बिफोर तपस, इट इज देयर बिफोर वॉटर्स, इट इज देयर इन द केव ऑफ द हार्ट एंड इट इज इन ऑल द एलिमेंट्स. भूत मीन्स ऑल द एलिमेंट्स, एतद् वैदत्. अगेन, सो अगेन वन मोर डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ आत्मा और द सेल्फ. So the idea by repeating again and again is to hammer the idea and for us to abide in this knowledge, and that will make us beyond sorrow, that will make us beyond grief, that will make us beyond worry, beyond fear. So the idea of becoming fearless, that's why these great Mahatmas, even they were tortured and they were killed, they didn't give up their faith. Why? Because they knew that I am this Atma. And no matter, even if you kill my body, you cannot destroy me. And which is true, these great Mahatmas who were killed by, even for example, the Sikh gurus, you know, some of them were killed by the Mughals, but they did not surrender their faith. Until today, we respect and admire them, that even hundreds of years, so they become immortal. So that is called immortality, where they first of all understand their immortal nature and also their memory becomes eternal. So here, what is this tapasaha jata? What is tapas? What is created by tapas? So tapas here means knowledge. True knowledge is mahadimam tapo ramana vagiyam. Ramana Maharishi also says the greatest tapas is knowledge. Because to sit and contemplate on whom I am is the only way. Otherwise, doing all these other things and torturing the body. Yeah, I mean, doing some amount of, doing some amount of tapas, austerity is good. But excessive torturing of the body, sitting on fire, on nails and this and that is not tapas. True tapas is knowing who I am. And that only comes from right understanding, going to a guru and abiding in this knowledge and studying the Upanishads, studying the Vedanta, Vedas is the only way to understand. And that's why even when Brahmaji first created the world, what was the first word given to Brahmaji? Tapaha. Tapaha, when he came out from Narayan Bhagwan's Nabhi on the lotus, He did not know where he was, and then he was told tapaha, do tapas. So tapas means to create anything we need knowledge, right? Even to build a Lego set, you know, with your child, you need knowledge, you need the directions to build a house, to build a factory, to build anything, you need knowledge. So same way to create this whole universe, Brahmaji was given knowledge, and this was Purvam, even before Brahmaji's knowledge, tapas, this was created. Jata means it was not created, it was born, it was present. It was present even before Brahmaji was manifested. And adabhyaha purvam ajayat. Adabhyaha means before the waters. So what do they mean by waters? So water represents Pancha Mahabhutas. When in Vedanta, or in our scriptures, when they mention one, it includes the whole group. So air, space, fire, water,
space,
earth.
Air.
space, air, fire, water, earth. These five elements are represented by water. And these five elements, they are not the gross elements, but the ungrossified, apanchikrit panchamahabhutas. Those of you who still remember tattva bodh, apanchikrit panchamahabhuta, the ungrossified five elements, which they talk about how the one and four combine. I think that was covered. If you haven't, please study tattva bodh again, how the one and four combine to become this gross world. So before even the apanchikrit panchamahabhutas, before that was this purvam ajayata. It was present before. And guham pravishya tishthantam. And it enters in the guha, in the cave of the heart. We'll talk about that. And bhute bihi vyapashyata. And it is there in all the elements. It is there in everything that we perceive. So as we said, it is the first creation was Hiranyagarbha. And in the individual, it is called Taijasa. In the total, it is called Hiranyagarbha. Like in the body, you know, the individual is called Vishwa. And the total of all the bodies is called Virat. So Vishwa is the individual gross body. Virat is the total gross body.
Virat Roop.
Virat Roop. That's why Bhagavan shows his Virat Roop in the 11th chapter. In the subtle body, the individual is called Taijasa. And in the total is called Hiranyagarbha. In the causal body, the individual is called Prajna. And in the total is called Ishvara. Ishvara. Ishvara is the total. Because just as the causal body, my vasanas, my causal body is the creation of my body, whatever body, mind, intellect I have, wherever I was born, whatever parents were because of my vasanas. So Ishvara represents the total creative potential where when the Brahman working through the totality becomes Ishvara. The difference between me and Ishvara is I function out of ignorance. Ishvara functions out of knowledge. Ishvara creates the whole universe out of knowledge, while you and I create our limited world out of ignorance. So, but we are actually one. Actually, the consciousness, whether it is in Ishvara or in me, is one. So I am not separate. That's why they say, na, I and God or I and Brahman are one. Aham Brahmasmi. It is at the level of consciousness. So it is the microcosm and the macrocosm. So the micro is the individual, macro is the total. And once when identified with the total, such a person becomes great. So we'll look at few examples, like you are looking at the map of US, right? All the 50 states. And then you see California, okay, that's where I live. So I say, oh, California is separate. California may be separate, but whatever is produced in California is for the whole nation, right? If there is oil produced, you know, that oil, it is distributed and utilized. If there is grains produced, food, you know, that is shared. And some places grow a lot of grain. Some places have milk. Some places have butter. Some have cheese, like Wisconsin. So they don't keep it to themselves. So that is the individual identifying with the total. Or like we gave our example, we think, okay, we belong to Chinmaya Mission Gokul, you know, Bakersfield. And most lot of people are just limited to that. Oh, I know Chinmaya Mission. How do I know it? I know it as whatever Gokul, you know, whatever happens in Bakersfield. But when you go to a national conference, you know, and you see people from all over the country, or even all over the world. I remember Nehru and I had gone to the 50th anniversary in 2001 in Mumbai, and there were people from all over the world, thousands of people. Then you realize how big Chinmaya Mission is, how wide it is, you know, every major country of the world. So then you feel that I am not limited to just 100 or 150 members, but we are part of that whole. We are part of that totality. That's what Guruji Swami Tejomayanand ji had told us when we were building Gokul and we had to take a lot of loan from the bank. He said, don't worry, the whole worldwide Chinmaya mission is behind you. Why do you worry? Don't worry, we will support you, whatever. And they did help us in the beginning. And so that's how you realize your oneness with the totality. And great leaders, how do they become great? By sinking their individuality in the totality. Like Mahatma Gandhi, he did not only think of himself as a lawyer, but as a citizen of India, and he is there to represent whole of India. Nelson Mandela, you know, he fought against apartheid in South Africa, and he was put in jail for so many years, tortured, given solitary confinement, but he didn't give up. He didn't stop fighting till South Africa became free. So Martin Luther King, he fought for the, you know, blacks, and even though he was killed, but his name and his ideas became the focus for the civil rights movement. John F. Kennedy, he said, don't think what the country can do for you, think what you can do for your country. So all these great leaders sacrificed their individual good for the total good, even though they were imprisoned, even though they were shot, even though they were tortured. So that is what they say, that when you identify with the bigger, like as I, then I say my family, then my community, then my state, you know, my mission, then my country, the whole world. Once you identify with the whole world, that is the realized Mahatmas, the great realized sages. They did not identify even with a country. When they said, I am Brahman, they identified with the totality. And that's why a person like Pooja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda could travel all over the world and establish this mission. So that is called one expressing as all. The individual and the total are one. And that etad vaitad, that is this. And the example they give is like, you have a hall, big hall, right? So you have hall space. And then you have a golden pot. Then you have a silver pot. Then you have a metal pot, steel pot. Then you have a mud pot. So you say, what is this? So they say, oh, space within a gold pot, space within a silver pot or a steel pot or a mud pot. But actually space is only one. It is our ignorance that we say, okay, there is pot space, then there is hall space, room space, you know, all that. But there is only one total space. So understanding that there is one consciousness, etad vaitad, and that alone is real, that alone is eternal, yes. And that you are, and that is the highest. So we can do one more. We have about 10 minutes. So we can do one more mantra where he takes it to the causal body, yes, and to the substratum, the support of all. So, Moini auntie, you have that number 7?
Yes, I do.
Ya pranena sambhavati.
Ya pranena sambhavati.
Adittir devata mahi.
Adittir devata mahi.
Guham pravishya tishtanti.
Guham pravishya tishtanti.
Ya bhute bhirvyajayata.
Ya bhuter bhivajayata.
Etad vaitat.
Etad vaitat.
You can please mute. Ya pranena sambhavati adittir devata mahi guham pravishya tishtanti. Ya bhute bhirvyajayat etad vaitat. So yaha, so that which is atma, which is now born along with prana, pranena sambhavati, along with pranas. So now he is taking us to the subtler than even the subtler body, that is the pranas. And Now, a Hiranyagarbha has been given a female name. It is said to be Aditi and Devatamayi. It is the she is the mother of all gods. Aditi is the mother of all gods. Even Bhagwan Vishnu is said to be. So she is the mother of all the gods. And Guham Pravishya Tishtanti, and it is abiding in the cave of the heart. And Bhute Bihi, along with the five elements, we have talked about that in the previous mantra. Vyajayata, it is one who knows that it is was born along with the five elements, Etad Vaitat. So Guham Pravishya Tishtanti, that is has appeared in a previous mantra also. Guha means the cave of the heart. Pravishya means having abided. So that consciousness, which is all over the universe, also manifests in the individual in the cave of the heart. That's why we say, when you say I, you put your hand here in the middle of the chest. That is me. You don't say I in your head or I in your leg. You put I here. So I as this Atma, the consciousness that is present in my whole body, but is known as in the cave of the heart. And this will be again covered in subsequent mantras. So Aditi is the mother of all the gods, and other means eats, other means enjoy. So that which experiences everything. Hiranyagarbha is the subtle body which experiences all that. And what is an individual? The individual subtle body has 17 aspects. Five sense organs, five organs of action. Organs does not mean the gross organs, but the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, the ability to think. So that is called the subtle body. The eyes or the ears or the nose are called the gross body. They are the holes which send the information, but it is the subtle body, is the ability to see, hear, ability to think, talk, walk, all those. So five sense organs, five organs of action, five pranas, you know, prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana, the five pranas and the mind and the intellect. So 17, five sense organs, five organs of action, five pranas, mind and intellect. The 17 becomes the individual, and the total pranas are this Hiranyagarbha, or the one that is even present before Hiranyagarbha, Sambhavati. So inside and outside, that is one Atma, and you see the same Atma in various aspects, in the gross body, subtle body, causal body, the conditionings. We have already talked about the names, the different names it has, and it is the cause of all. Just as waves occur in the ocean, there are waves and there is whirlpools, and you know there is all this high tide, low tide, all these foam bubbles, all these names are given, but there's only one water appearing as all these. So same way, one consciousness appearing. But why prana? Because prana is the most powerful. So, like in an office, there is an individual who, when he goes away on vacation for 3 weeks, we don't even miss his absence. You know, the work goes on fine. So they say, what was this guy doing? He was gone for 3 weeks and nobody missed him. But then if there is another guy who is gone for 3 weeks and whole office goes to sixes and seven, and they say, oh, where is this? Where is that? They can't find things, they can't do it, then they say, oh, this person is important. We need to keep him. So there is this story in the Upanishads where, you know, these all the body parts, the different senses were arguing who is supreme. Eye said, I am supreme. Ears said, I am. Nose, you know, all those hands, feet, and the sense organs and the pranas, they were all arguing. So this is the story in the Upanishad. So the eyes decide to go on vacation. They say, we are going to go on vacation. See how you can manage. So eyes go on vacation. Yeah, they miss the eyes, but then with a walking stick, that person can manage. Or the ears, you know, he goes away, he gets hearing aid. Some difficulty he has, but he can manage. You know, same way hands, if you don't have, or feet you don't have, You can make artificial hands, artificial feet. So all those persons can manage speech if they don't have, they can write. But if prana, then ultimately after all of them went, and then prana said, okay, now tomorrow I'm going on vacation. Prana means the breath. And the moment the prana decided to go, all of the others started choking. They said, no, you don't go away. Without you, we cannot function. Eyes, ears, no. So prana is the life breath, is the consciousness. So that which is along with prana means the one that is before a whole creation came, the pranas. So that is the Aditi, that is the Hiranyagarbha, the mother of all the gods. And it is the cause of all. And Guha means in the cave of the heart. And in billions, see, there are 7 billion humans. And humans only constitute 0.5% of the living beings. If you count all the insects, birds, animals, plants, that is 99.5% are all the others. Even though we think, even though we dominate, but we in numbers. So in all of them, there is only one Atma. There is not separate Atma. And that is inside and outside. And when I understand that I am that, then you say, I am everything. So I am everything is not a manifestation of ego, it is the truth. If you understand I am Atma, then I am everything. So that is what they are trying to tell you, that you are not this limited being. You are not different from Brahman. You are not different from all. And you are not different from all the, you know, gross elements. You know, the one gross element is called Virat, and the subtle is called Hiranyagarbha, the creative is called Ishvara. So our gross body is made of 5 elements. It is the same as all the other gross bodies. The subtle bodies are all connected. That's why the great leaders can mobilize people, because they connect with the total subtle body and the causal body. The creativity is one. So understanding I am everything, it has to be done with systematic study, not out of ego, not out of arrogance, but out of reality. So going to a teacher, surrendering to the teacher, prostrating and giving up the ego with the idea, I know nothing. And then when we ask the teacher to teach us, then this knowledge becomes our knowledge. So here I'll end. So here we see the nature of Atma as the one in all the gross bodies, subtle bodies, causal bodies, the pranas, and it in the past, present, future, in waking, dream, and deep sleep, there is one, and that is me. So again and again, the Upanishad keeps reminding you, etad vaitad, that you are that, this you are that, and this both. So that is, we'll end here. It's a very, very powerful message, even though it seems repetitious, but through different examples, through different conditionings, it is showing us through the gross body, through the subtle body, causal body, in the pranas, it is there, waking, dream, deep sleep, all that.
And taking
So,
you inward, basically.
yeah, and also taking you inward,
From the
right?
gross to the
From the
subtle,
gross.
from the subtle to the causal to the.
Yeah, causal to the pranas and pranas to the self.
And subtle, subtlest.
Yes,
Subtle
subtle.
means the more pervasive.
Right. So as Niru said, subtle means more pervasive. So the gross body is less pervasive than the subtle body, than the
More.
causal mind and intellect. Intellect is more pervasive than the causal body. Pranas, which is the life principle, and the Atma, the self. So through different conditionings, it is telling us that you are that unconditioned self. So this Upanishad I found is very simple, with very practical way it is. And it is a little long, but then it gives a very, very clear definitions of what is Atma, what is self, and how you are that. So this one is kind of affecting me the most, you know, it's making it most clear. Or maybe also because we have studied 3 or 4 Upanishads before, 4 Upanishads. But I think this one, everybody should read again, you know, even though it's a little long, it is very, very beautiful. Any other questions, comments anybody has?
I just have a comment. Like, familiar with Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Ishwara, but today, first time, actually, I heard you're saying individual Vishwa, Tejas, and Pragya. I never came across that in all these things that been reading or teaching or anything. So that was new. Huh?
Yes, so Vishwa is Virat. And then
yeah,
Tejas,
right.
Is, yeah, yeah.
At the individual level and
yeah,
at the
yeah, capital. Yeah, she got it. She's just mentioning. Now yeah. Go ahead. What else?
But I think it's same thing as you are saying, but to me this shloka sounded more complicated, kind of. But I mean, of course you're making it simple. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I know, because Gurudev's commentary is you know, it's a little difficult to grasp at times, and also it is shorter, but then I listen to other commentary and then I add from that. So yeah, I also in this reading this sometime it's very difficult only reading Gurudev's commentary. So that's why listening to, and then also when people talk, you know, as opposed to writing in a book, you are limited. When you are talking, you can talk in more detail, you know, what is written in four mantras, we could discuss in 1 hour. So, yeah. Anything else, Suja?
No, the only because when teaching the kids, you know, on the, like, it's easier to touch the gross body than subtler, because you have to think of mind, intellect, and then the causal body. But the light, they are giving electricity example. I used to say flashlight also. The light is there, it's pervading each and every cell, and then condition consciousness and stuff. But the shloka kind of, I'm not sure. I may have to read again, but like it sounded difficult to me. But
yeah, no, the shloka to read, I also found it. That's what I was telling Neeru, that these, I, because see, the Upanishad mantras are very symbolic. They are symbolic. They don't directly reveal the truth, because they are also taught to advanced students. So that's why we need somebody like Swami Chinmayananda or other acharyas, you know, of Chinmaya Mission, who have interpreted this for us and made it simpler. Because the Upanishad mantras are very, some of the Upanishads are only 15, 20 mantras. You know, this has, of course, a lot more. So they are difficult to understand, and also they are very symbolic. In find in all the religious literature, a lot of symbolism is used. Even in the Bible, there are many places they use a lot of symbolic language.
That's what they're missing.
Because also the thing is that this truth cannot be revealed in words. Words cannot reveal it. You know, whatever we speak, whether it's Sanskrit, whether it's Upanishads, none of them can reveal it. They can only point to the truth. So by using symbolism, they make us think and take our mind beyond the words to that. Like the finger pointing to the moon. Finger is not the moon, but the finger indicates the moon. So same way, these Upanishads are like that finger that point to Brahman, that Atma, the consciousness. And so we have to go beyond the finger to what is pointed out if you want to see the moon. So go beyond the book to what is indicated in the book. That's why the language is very suggestive, very symbolic. But it's a lot of fun. Once you understand, then you see how beautifully the rishis have expressed it. So that's why I think reading this again, and if you have a chance, you can even listen on first power. If any of the mantras are not clear, Amit, when he puts it on the website, first power, he puts what mantra, what, you know, what chapter, all that. So you can listen to a particular mantra if you want. So the same day, usually it gets posted, so you can listen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Yeah, Lata.
I missed the first three shlokas last week, but so Brahmaji was created before the five elements and all that. Yes. That's what yes. You're saying.
Right.
So, but even it said that it was even before that there was existence.
Yeah, truth was always there. That's represented by Narayan Bhagwan, you know.
Hmm.
Narayana is the total consciousness manifested in that individual.
And then came the Brahmaji, and then came the five elements and the whole Jagat afterwards.
Yes.
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 To create, they needed to do the elements, right?
Yeah. And they needed knowledge. So that's why it says tapas. Tapas of Brahmaji means the knowledge that he had, he got. By doing his penance, austerity, he got the right knowledge. So the right knowledge was revealed to him. And then with right knowledge, he could create all this beautiful, not only this earth, but so many planets and so many universes and all that. So all that. So Brahmaji, yeah.
Okay.
We personify him, but it is like the creative aspect.
Okay.
And also four heads means having four times the knowledge. See, Brahmaji is said to have four heads, one in each direction, means his knowledge is symbolic of that he knows all, everything, you know.
Okay. Correct. I know I'm taking you back, but that on the second shloka in page 176, Gurudev has quoted this auguries of innocence tried successfully, as Blake expresses in auguries of innocence tried successfully, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Beautiful. Because they say, now, what is in the microcosm is in the macrocosm. What you are seeing in a grain of sand, the five elements, is the entire universe. So in a grain of sand. Then heaven in a wild flower. Flower is the totality. That's why they say in Shweta Ashvatara Upanishad, if you pluck a leaf here on earth, you definitely are disturbing some star far away. So everything is connected. Even the plucking a leaf, you are causing so much, not only pain to that leaf, but you are disturbing the entire cosmos. So our actions, our thoughts are all connected. If we spread good thoughts, we are creating goodness. If we spread harmful thoughts. So heaven in a wild flower means the flower is the same as what is in heaven. The beauty of a flower and the beauty of heaven are one. And then hold infinity in the palm of your hand, which means again in your palm, if you know I am Brahman, then I am that infinity. So that is called hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. See, we think that this knowledge, it will take many, many years by the time I reach it. When will I know it? Or many lifetimes. You know, I don't know how many more births I have to take. But if you know that, that's why they say the power of now. If you know now, God is only always in the now. God is never in the past, never in the future. Knowledge is only in the now. Activity is only in the now. So once you know that that is now, then that becomes...
Now means presence.
Presence, in the present moment, in the
presence. Not even
presence,
present moment.
Which is the support of the present moment, and which is eternal. So that is called eternity in an hour. So living in the present, you can know the totality as the now, that is what. So even realization will always happen in the now, will never happen in the future. When I realize or when I get enlightened, it will happen only in the now.
Beyond time.
Yeah, because it is beyond time.
Hmm.
So that, does that answer that? Yeah, it is a very beautiful saying. Everybody should read and think about it. It's a number two. Yeah, the mantra number two of this chapter in the middle of the towards the end of Gurudev's commentary, he has quoted, yes. Very, very nice.
Very nice. Thank you. And your explanation made sense now. I did not put together that way.
Thank you. Yeah. I didn't cover it in the last class, but I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll end.
Anil
Yeah.
ji, I'm kind of lost. Which Upanishad are we reading now and what chapter?
Kathopanishad, chapter 2, and we read mantras 4,
Oh,
5.
we are still on chapter 2. Okay. Thank you.
Chapter 2, mantras 4, 5, 6, 7. Next week, we'll do from
Yes.
mantra 8 onwards.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, go to firstpower.info. All the previous talks are there. You can listen to them. Okay, we'll end here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम.